That was Where's the Moon with my guest today, Brittany Shane. That was her brand new release. Welcome to the Austin Artist Collective on 91.7 KAOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby with your host of the day, Heather Ross, or on the live stream at www.kaop.org. You were just listening to Off the Beetle Path with Rush Evans. You can contact us at austinartist@kaop.org. and listen to previous episodes on mixcloud.com. My guest today is Brittany Shane. Right out of the gate, as a college student in Wisconsin, Americana singer-songwriter Brittany Shane was grabbing rave reviews left and right, including Best Female Vocalist honors from the local media. And throughout her time in Wisconsin, San Francisco, and her current adopted hometown of Austin, Texas, she has continued to grab attention, becoming a staple in the legendary Fillmore, sharing the stage with Amy Mann, Chris Isaak, Travis Hart, Peter Frampton, Liz Phair, and more, as well as landing song placements in film, television, and commercials, including Hyundai, Oxygen, PBS, and A&E. Her first single of the new year, Where's the Moon, which you heard at the beginning of the show, was inspired by her four-year-old son, Oliver, and the time they've spent together in quarantine. One song turned into many that she plans to release throughout the year. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm making it. Surviving quarantine so far.
Yeah, same here.
So congratulations on your new single, Where's the Moon? It was inspired by your four-year-old son, Oliver, and y'all's time together in quarantine. Tell me how that came about.
Since this all started last March, we've spent so much time together, and I was actually having writer's block where I couldn't write any songs, and I was worried was I ever going to write another song again. And we started spending all this time together, and I just started looking at him and just thinking about, hey, why don't I just write about Ollie and maybe how the way that he looks at things, maybe tell his story. During the time when I was writing the song, he was going to the window at night and looking for the moon, and he'd just go, "Where, Mom, where's the moon?" And we would both go to the window and I'd point to the moon and we'd look at it and start talking, and then it would be time for bed and we'd go read some books. I'd turn on the music and then I would leave the room. And this song is about what happens after I leave the room and he floats off to dreamland and is on his bed that turns into a boat in the ocean and he drifts away looking at the moon and everything that happens in his dream.
That's wonderful. And what about the art that's going along with the song that you wrote?
I've decided to pair up artwork with the singles that I'm releasing. And Bob Pollard from Guided by Voices was kind enough to say, yeah, you can use one of my paintings for this project. And I looked through his artwork and I love this piece called Island Park Flood. And it really goes along with Where's the Moon because there's a water theme and very dreamy artwork. It's beautiful. I just really love all his artwork and was just so happy to pair these two up together.
What does Oliver think of the song?
He says he likes it. So far, he usually says he likes the songs. I think he's telling the truth, but you never know. But he said he liked it. We sometimes will listen to it in the car, and I say, "Hey, the song's about you. Do you like that?" So yeah. So, I think he's okay with it.
It doesn't make him uncomfortable or anything that like a song's written about him. He likes the idea.
Not yet. Not at four. It doesn't make him uncomfortable yet. I don't know if it will later on.
He might just be used to it by then. It'll just be his normal. Where have you been recording all your music so far?
I started off like when the pandemic hit, I took a break and was just recording demos, just even on my phone, if I had ideas and everything. And then I went into a studio here in Austin and was just one-on-one with an engineer, recording things, and then took a break from that and decided I just really wanted to wait till the band could record with me. So recently we went in with band and all had masks, and I would just be in the vocal area by myself when I had to practicing, so we kept everybody separated, and I was able to lay down some tracks and make the song. And I'm recording at Yellow Dog Studio in Wimberley, Texas, and just a wonderful studio. Everybody there is just really cool. And David Pierce-Bull is the owner, mixed the song, Adam Under mastered it. And my longtime drummer friend, Josh Singer, is producing these singles. And so that's been really cool. We've known each other for, gosh, like 11 years or so. So it's been really nice to have a friend to work with on this, because he knows me as a musician, and he kind of knows how he's singing, he knows how everything's going. And then to be able to work with him, it's just been a really easy experience. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you all each going in there individually at different times, or were you all there and then just stayed social distanced?
Yeah, we're all there and stayed social distance, and different. I recorded by myself, and it was just really fun to be there and be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be creative right now and have somewhere to, I just have all these songs that have been coming up, and I just don't know really what to do with all of them. So it's just nice to be able to put them down and have them recorded. And I've been writing, just trying to keep up with it while it's going on, because you never know when it'll stop.
Right. And
we just got to get them out.
Have you been able to perform live anywhere during the pandemic?
I was not performing at first during the pandemic. It took a long break. And then I started saying okay to like solo shows that were outside, played a few of those. And then I was just like, I don't really think I should be doing this until I get the vaccine, or wanted to take even more precautions. So recently I have been saying no to everything and just concentrating on writing right now.
So do you plan to play any more between now and getting the vaccine, or are you just going on hiatus for that from now?
I've decided to just put things on hold until I get the vaccine. My husband, is also a nurse, so he's always educating me and saying, hey, Brittany, I think it's better for you to maybe hold off. We're going to, hold off, hoping to get the vaccine soon. I don't know where I'll be in line right now, but hoping things will start getting a little better.
Has your husband gotten the vaccine?
He has, yes. He's gotten the two shots, and he's been... And some days he's given out the vaccine to patients at St. David's South. So he's had experience with that. He does that, volunteers to do that when we need him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
How has it been with having a 4-year-old son and being a musician and just life in the pandemic as an artist? Because it's definitely hit artists very, very hard. And overall, what has it been like for you?
I'd say it's been difficult, especially spending, a lot of time inside and wanting very much to go out and play a show. Just today I had to turn one down, and I don't like to disappoint anyone, and I don't like to miss a great opportunity. And I had to turn down a show at the place where I really wanted to play. And that was hard. So just saying no to things during this year has been hard. And just missing out on the fun experience, like hanging out with your band friends and seeing them all. They're all my good friends. So.
Well, and the reality of it's not just being around like the people in the audience, even if they're social distanced and far away.
Yeah.
It's your bandmates.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing is, you have the show, which could be outside, but then you have all the rehearsing that you have to have before the show. What do you do about that? There's just so many things that lead up to having a show. There's all these things that you need to do to prepare. That's where it gets a little tricky too.
Well, and trying to do band rehearsals via Zoom is just, there's, for music, it's just, there's a lag, and it's not the same as doing it live. It's just not. If you're going to do a live show in person, you need to rehearse live in person to have the same results.
Very much. I tried playing, some shows, just live shows on, Facebook and stuff, but I only did that a few times, and it was hard to get the sound quality the way I liked it. So I'd rather have like an engineer there to take care of that work.
Right.
So I haven't done any more of those. I think I only did two.
Yeah, and I did a play, and I felt I had to record myself. We pre-recorded each of ourselves and then sent that, and then they edited it together. And I said, well, how is this? I mean, I get how it's different than a film, but it still feels more like a film than a play. It's like halfway towards a play.
Yeah.
It's like an in-between. And so it just wasn't the same feeling.
Right.
There's nothing like being on stage in front.
Right.
Whether you are at a coffee shop standing 2 feet away from your audience or on a big stage, like whatever your stage is, it's the energy of performing live in front of people and the feedback, the immediate feedback you get.
Yeah.
Whether they like it or not.
Exactly.
And it's just not the same. And I know we both miss it. Whatever kind of artist you are, it's hard right now. You know, funding's been cut. People aren't spending as much money on art in the same way. I think the only thing that's really doing well is, like, streaming services.
Yeah.
You said that you are releasing multiple songs, multiple singles this year.
Right. Yeah, I'm really excited. I have like 4 recorded right now. So they'll be released probably every maybe six weeks, 8 weeks or something like that. We're just getting them, having them work on them. I have one coming up that's called Texas Boy that I'm excited about going to be making a video for that sometime when this spring. I hope to get that out sometime when, you know, things are a little better. You know?
Yeah.
So that'd be really fun. I'm just happy to have some new stuff out there.
Yeah. How many songs do you have total?
It's interesting because I started out writing a whole kids album starting last March.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a whole kids album, and then some of the songs started to change into writing maybe songs about love and maybe songs about different subjects. So I started to think, oh, maybe this shouldn't be just a kids album. It can be some couple of songs that, you know, kids and adults can like, but also some of the others. So it might be like a mix of different things that are coming out over the next months, and then at the end, full CD or that everybody can have. So just release things one by one and then a full CD.
Do you know how many songs total it will be?
I would really like it to be 12, but it just depends on how much time everyone else has, really.
That makes sense.
I have the songs. I don't know if they have the time. So I am hoping everyone has the time. So.
And I also, yeah, this year is...
Yeah.
It's unpredictable right now. Yeah. Yeah. Like, last year was so chaotic. And this year, like, we really don't know what to expect at this point. I'm like, I'm not predicting anything because I just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That totally is understandable. You know, and Where's the Moon? I was listening to it and I was just like, you know, I didn't think of it as a kid's song when I was listening to it. I know that, it was inspired.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to go for is, you know, it's about Oliver and it's his perspective of some certain things, but I wanted two adults to be able to also enjoy it. And there were a couple bands like that I discovered when Ollie was really little. We'd play him music and there were songs that I really liked that were kids songs, but it didn't always feel that way. It felt like there was this middle ground kind of. It was almost an adult song, almost a kid song. And that's where I was trying to go with some of those so that everyone could enjoy it.
Oh yeah. There's definitely songs that I've heard that were kids songs. Like they were titled that, but I listened to them and everyone, that is my roommate's dog. And we have had some intervention throughout this interview from pets.
Yes, lots of pets everywhere.
her cat, Cookie, has been super affectionate this interview.
Yes, I thought she'd be hiding, but nope. She always appears when I Zoom.
And that is just part of doing these interviews at home. I was listening to it, and I really didn't think that, like, if it is a kid's song, because, like, I've heard songs that are titled that way, and I just was like, well, I mean, I get how kids can listen to them and think one thing, but
mm-hmm.
I think of something entirely different, and it made me think of what is the moon, and it being more of a theoretical thing, kind of when you're out there and you're looking at the moon, what are you thinking about?
That's
because
good.
I was actually, like, looking at the moon with my niece, who's 4, which is interesting, like, a weekend or two ago, and at my mom's house, she kept telling me, there's the moon, and I see the moon. It's interesting how, like, around 4, that's, like, when they're super fascinated by being able to see the moon.
Yeah, it seems like the age that they're really into it, yes.
After that, they're just like, yeah, I know.
And
I know it's there, like, so
yeah.
It's not going anywhere. When I heard that song, it made me think of that and how, you know, I like to go see what does the moon look like today, and it just gives you kind of this sense of peace and captivation and really kind of gets you to take a break from life. And really, I think I was having this conversation yesterday about how we really we use this word control. It really is a ridiculous word, because we really can't control anything. It's theoretical. It's because even in science, controls are not really, we can't even control our controls. We really are like we're a rock hurtling through space, rotating around a star that is eventually going to, like, implode and turn into a black hole and suck us into it. So it's a very, like, it's very chaotic and very, like, everything's around chance, and just, you know, we have this moon that's rotating around us, and it's fascinating, but we don't control any of that. That's just happening.
Right.
We don't control what's happening to the Earth. You know, we have an idea of what's going on, and so we have this obsession with control, and we use it all the time. We were like, control your emotions, when really, like, if we actually just let our emotions flow, we'd all be a lot happier. And that's a lot about what artistry is about. It is actually just, like, feeling your emotions, putting them into words. And when I was hearing that song, that's what made me think about. It's just, like, we look at the moon to kind of, like, center ourselves and really, like, you know, kind of think about our day. And it was a song that really kind of made me just step away and think. I really liked it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks.
Yeah. It also was just, like, with how rough the pandemic has been, I'm always happy to hear songs of hope and, you know, that people are able to still create during the pandemic and not just, you know, create things that are so, everything sucks, I'm so upset because I can't go get my hair cut, and complaining, that you're able to create something showing your appreciation for,
yeah,
like, and the value of how you've, you know, appreciated your child and your time that you've had together in something beautiful.
Yeah, I think, you know, we were talking about this earlier, just how it makes you, this pandemic time has made me look around and just appreciate everything more, appreciate
mm-hmm.
my pets more, appreciate Ollie more. You know, I just feel like I have the time to, like, take a breath and just look at him and just be like, gosh, I really love you. You know, I really, really am thankful for you. You know, and just, we have a little bit more time to just sit there and think about those things.
Yeah. And it's interesting how everybody's taking the time and spending it differently. And
yeah,
there's no, and I have no judgment on
right.
that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's different. And, but I think every, you know, all the contributions are important. And I think it's important to have hopeful, positive songs come out of this. I think that there was the beginning of all of this where we didn't realize, or a lot of people didn't realize, it would go on for so long.
Yeah.
And I had an idea it would be quite a while, and I don't think I thought it would be so devastating. I had an idea that our president at the time would not respond well, because of just how he hadn't responded well to much of anything. But I had an idea a lot of people would catch it. I did not think it would be that high. I thought it would be high. I didn't think it would be that high. But I thought, you know, more people than we anticipated would die. But it was way more than I expected. And I'm not saying that to be like, I told you so. I'm saying that to be like, that was way worse than I even expected. And I was, you know, kind of going from talking to people in other countries that had been hit with it early on, like my friend in South Korea, that she was like, people are discriminating against Americans here, and, you know, and foreigners, and treating us differently, and everybody, like, is treating you funny if you don't wear a mask. Like, you have to wear a mask everywhere. They're giving them out to you. And this was early on, and so I was sitting there saying, thinking, if these are the signs, and it hasn't, like, officially hit us yet, I know what to expect, and how, you know, a good response would be. And when we didn't respond that way, I was like, and they had it pretty well locked down, I was like, well, you know, I had an idea of how this would go. And it was sad. I didn't want to be right. I didn't. And at least to a certain extent. But I was, when it comes to art, I just was so, it was devastating just seeing the impact, seeing how many theaters have closed, how many iconic bars, venues, I mean, everything. Like, it's just like, it seems like every day some other place has closed, and maybe I've been there, maybe I haven't, it doesn't matter. It's been influential to some, you know, to a community of artists, and now it's not going to be there. And the problem is like, we can't save everything because we're trying to just survive right now. And the hard thing is that there hasn't been enough support for artists. There's not, you know, we don't have national health care. So, you know, I'm like, a lot of artists don't have health care. And so they're trying to survive and hoping they don't get they don't get COVID. And then if they do, freaking out because they can't cover the cost. And that's terrifying. And then it's just like venues struggling to survive. And then it's like, well, what will it look like when it opens back up afterwards? Are we going to have new venues, or are we just going to do what we can to support the ones that made it?
Right.
You know?
I know, yeah.
And is Austin going to still be the music capital of the world after the pandemic? I don't know. I mean, will we still have South by Southwest afterwards? I'm sure we will. But how many places will still be open, you know?
Right.
It's hard to know what it will look like. And it's like, well, do you have a lot of, like, people are creating music. I know that they are. That I'm not doubting the lack of music being created. I think it's more of, and we can come up with venues anywhere. Musicians, artists have always found places to play. We're creative. That's what we do. And we'll find a way. There is hope. We will find a way when this is over, and we will make it through. So at the end of the day, it's like, what will this look like? Well, we'll figure it out. Are you going to be releasing art with each song?
Yes, I'd like to. So I've been looking to pair up the next couple releases with artists.
With different artists or the same artist in just
different
pieces?
Different artists. Yeah.
So are you looking for artists, or do you have artists in mind?
I'm looking for artists for some of them. Some of them I have someone in mind, so it's kind of a little of both.
So if there are artists that are interested, is there a way that they can contact you, or is this more of like you want to find them on your own?
I mean, I would definitely be open to someone contacting me about it. That'd be great.
Okay. Where can they contact you if they are interested in collaboration?
My website, brittanyshane.com. They can contact me there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are your songs available?
They'll be available at my website and Bandcamp and iTunes. So these new singles will be available on those three places.
Okay. And you just look for Brittany Shane on iTunes and Bandcamp?
Yes.
And it's Brittany with a Y.
Brittany Brittany, yes.
And are you on any social media?
Yes, I'm on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. And what is your handle for both of those?
Facebook, it's just Brittany Shane, facebook.com/Brittany Shane.
Okay. And then same with Instagram, just Brittany Shane?
Brittany Shane Music.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and congratulations on your new single, Where's the Moon, inspired by
your
4-year-old son, Ollie. Well, you've been listening to the Austin Artist Collective on 91.7 KOP. or on the live stream at www.kop.org. I'm Heather Ross. You can listen to previous episodes on mixcloud.com, and you can contact us at austinartists@kop.org. Up next is Reflections of Community Outreach, ROCA. Wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home, and stay safe. Black Lives Matter, Trans Lives Matter.